Hello and welcome to the First Person Podcast Simulator. My name is Zach, and joining with me is...
Mike Egan.
And it's been a weird week.
Yes.
We kind of had opposite ends of the same coin, or some clever phrase. Because I just got done with my spring break for the most part. Today's March, late March. Today's March.
29th would be the date.
29th, if you like numbers.
If and, you like those electronic devices that are always in front of your face, but yeah. You never use.
But yeah, it's been strange, because we kind of effectively took a week off of the blog and the podcast,
yeah.
Which, I mean, we talked about before, is totally fine.
Well warranted, I think.
Yeah, we're two dudes. And
we're busy people.
Yeah. But the interesting thing about that is, as soon as I got time to like take a break, I had all these ideas flowing around that I wanted to do for the blog.
Mm-hmm.
But I never made myself do them.
Yeah.
It was the strangest thing, as though I didn't value time as much and just thought, oh, well, I can get this done sometime, generally tomorrow, but then I would dick around for the whole day.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if that's me like wanting to take a break or if maybe I'm just more productive when I'm like in the thick of school and work and commuting.
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever noticed something like that when you do your vlogs or anything like
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. That was my spring break. I was like, oh, I'm going to get all this stuff done. I'm going to make all these videos that I've been wanting to make. I'm going to get my gaming channel back up. And I did none of it. And all of these articles that have been left unread and issues of Wired that I picked up and never read. So I don't know why that happens, but it does happen
no,
with my blog,
it's
too.
No, it's super strange. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's just this weird, like, constant... I feel like I'm still getting to know this whole process,
mm-hmm.
like the juggling a million different things at once.
Yeah.
And I guess I found that I'm most productive when doing that, which is so weird.
Yeah, it is
which
weird, but like,
yeah, that should not make sense at all.
When you're super stressed, sometimes that's when you get the most done, like when you have the most to do.
Yeah, because I feel like time is so much more of a like necessary. You value it more.
Yeah.
The time that you spend on the train is not just sitting, chilling out, listening to a podcast time. It's I'm going to write this review time because
yeah.
I don't have any other time the rest of the week to fucking do it.
Right.
And I want to get this shot Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But that just wasn't the case this time around. So
yeah.
It's weird.
Totally.
I had a couple things that I wanted to do, which was like... I already talked about the... I wanted to do an impressions piece on...
Right, yeah.
Banner Saga, which I started.
Okay.
I've got some good solid ideas, and that will go up probably like when school starts,
mm-hmm.
so I can actually do it and finish it.
Right.
Then today, we're actually going to... Riding the train of... The creativity train here, the...
Yes.
or something. Right after this, we're going to do a impressions video on... the beta for Hammerwatch, which
yes.
is looks kind of like Gauntlet, okay. pretty much. Like.
Which I would like to point out, Hammerwatch, when I typed into Google, results for an actual watch. Came
oh,
out.
So you can get the...
Is it a watch hammer combo? I don't know, maybe.
So you can get
But that is now what I'm going to assume about this game.
if there are no hammers or any watches...
I'm going to be extremely
Zero
upset.
Out of ten.
Yes, exactly.
No questions asked. Sorry, guys. Sorry about your game.
No hammers, no watches?
Fuck.
Fine, whatever.
Nothing.
Games can only be titled literally.
This is exactly
BioShock
how...
Infinite better never end.
This is exactly how when all of those people got upset about Mass Effect 3 lying to them.
Yes.
Pointing to the better... This is exactly it. How dare they?
Mm.
So on to things that actually matter.
Right.
But yeah, I also wanted to do a theme song for the podcast. That didn't happen. But at the same time, I had a week of... I mean, I'm moving out soon of my
yeah,
home.
There is that.
Which is the first... I mean, I've been in college dorms before, but that's different. That's, okay, here is your pigeonhole. You live here. Make
mm-hmm.
this your space. Like, make sure to feed yourself and clean yourself.
Right.
Come to class. But this is... It's nuts. It's like the difference between, like, I don't know, getting, like, a pre-built sim house or something and then making your own with unlimited funds, which
okay.
is not true because I don't have unlimited funds for the apartment I'm getting.
Well. Right.
No, but it just, it's weird looking at apartments because there are so many things that you never even considered before in your, like, living space.
Right.
It's like apples to oranges squared in terms of comparing some of these places, because they're all living spaces, but there are different parts of it. I don't know. This isn't games. This isn't games.
No, but no. This is us.
It is.
And the podcast is us.
Yeah.
So
we keep bringing this up. It's like, we don't have to talk just about games and tech. It's like, yeah, but that's, I mean, that's like the shtick.
Right.
But, no, yeah, a very busy break week.
Yeah.
For me, I suppose.
I had a very busy not break week.
Yeah, you...
It was a crazy week for me. I didn't even barely vlog this week.
I saw that. Like, I didn't really see too many of them popping up here and there.
Tuesday night, I was still at school in the editing lab at, like, 7:30 at night. So I was like, I'm not going to be able to get home and make a vlog. And when I get home, I'm not going to want to make a vlog because it's going to be like 9 p.m. and I'm not going to give a shit anymore.
That's a lot of fucking time.
I just like opened up the camera on my tablet and I was like, I'm going to vlog from here. 2.5 minute little thing just to say, hey, no real vlog. But that's what a vlog is saying what it is you're doing and what's going on. So
yeah,
that's okay, I think. But yeah, it was a crazy week just working on, mainly, for my post-production class, we are producing a TV show.
Mm, right.
So our latest episode of that, we split the scenes among the members of our group for editing, because I edited the entire episode one, and that was a lot of work.
How long is that episode?
That one ended up being just under 15 minutes.
Wow. God damn.
And just... working with the Avid, you know, your Avid is a video editing software that is used in the most widely, I think, in the professional industry.
Mm, is it the Pro Tools of video editing software?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
So it's just like partly learning exactly how to use that, like trying to transfer over. It's weird because like I've used Final Cut a little bit, which I really, really hate. I just hate Final Cut so much. But I've used Premiere and I've used After Effects, so it's like, I know what I want to do, but how do I do it in this program?
Yeah.
Like, I have video editing and creative knowledge in this field, but how do I translate that over to this program? So it was learning that.
Yeah, that was actually the biggest thing going between, because I used to, at Columbia, I took a few production classes back when I thought I would do, you know, production, which turned out to be not my thing. But I still learned some cool stuff in those classes, and going from like Pro Tools to anything else is strange. Not so much that Pro Tools is a more like streamlined way of doing, you know, that specific thing. I've talked to people before, and they don't entirely agree with how it's set up, which is fine. But I mean, a lot of people use it. And when going from like that to something else, it's always strange. Like the small differences are weird between softwares like that.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's like Premiere is my favorite. Maybe it's because I used it first, and that's what I sort of got used to. But it's like, Final Cut is where you use the mouse the most, and Avid is where you use the keyboard the most, and Premiere is like a marriage of those two. And so it's got elements of Final Cut that I like, and it has elements of Avid that I really like. And that's why I think I love Premiere the most. But we're using Avid for this project, because that's the software we have to learn for the class.
Gotcha.
So, not only was I working on my portion of episode 2, I was having to re-edit out parts of episode 1 and deal with re-importing episode 1. And it's... there's so many things here. Because... okay. To work on episode 2, I had to clear out some space on my hard drive. Because it's only 250 gigs. My PC partition. I have a Mac partition, too. So.
Which, when you're working with video files...
cut it in half. Yeah, there's so much. I think the Avid folder itself was 220 gigs. So there's that. So much footage. So much 1080p footage is insane. And so I deleted some files to make room for episode 2 stuff.
Okay.
And what I deleted was transcoded footage that I transcoded so I could... there are a lot of terms that won't make sense. So it's stuff that I was going to put in the thing.
Okay, all right. Stuff in the thing, got it.
So when I got rid of that, the stuff for episode 1 wasn't working anymore. And if you've worked at all with video, you know the dreaded media offline.
Yeah, no, I mean, similar shit happens with, you know, there are certain things that Pro Tools or Reaper needs, where if they aren't there, it's like, I don't know where this is.
Too bad.
Sorry, dude. I can't.
And it's awful. So episode two, I had, my bit was just the intro because it was set to music, and they're like, hey, you're really good at editing things to music, but I was given the shortest part of the show, which didn't really make sense to me because... I mean, I'm not trying to brag, but they will say to me that I'm the best editor of the group. So I was given the shortest portion of the show, which makes sense because
they
are learning.
They need more experience,
right?
I
so,
guess.
But that got done. It was like 31 seconds, and I was like, oh, I'm finished with this now. But I had to redo parts of episode one because there were swears that I missed because we have to take those out if they're going to air on campus.
Yes, of course, because...
It doesn't make any sense to me. It's, I mean, it's for now it's just
Catholic
going on...
Catholic college?
Well, yeah, I guess. But it's just going on the web for now, so...
Yeah,
gives a shit. I don't know. He wanted me to take him out anyway, so... What I ended up having to do was import the final video file that I had exported from the project of episode one. So I was just importing that video file, which I had to use another drive for, because mine was full, I may remind you, and I couldn't import the other footage, because there was no more space, and so that happened, and where I left it last, it was exporting for the fifth time.
God!
Hoping that it will not fail this time like it has the past three or four.
What? Jesus!
Wednesday was my last day of school. I was there until... maybe six, and it was exporting, and it was like, it's gonna take, you know, 2 to 4.5 more hours.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna stay.
Yeah, you just left it overnight, right?
I know there's gonna be a chance that it'll fail as soon as I leave, like it did the first three times, but I'm leaving that up to the computer.
Man, your career.
You know? And the sad part is, I love it.
Video sadist.
Yeah. A little bit.
Okay, so video games and tech. We picked the shittiest.
All right, games.
I picked the worst week to not be here.
Yeah, we're like, oh, a week off, no big deal.
Yeah.
And then,
boom, fucking PAX East. And then right after that, going on, actually, I don't know if GDC is still going on now. I know it had been going on a day or two ago.
Yeah. But GDC.
But GDC as well.
That's
so,
a thing.
Cool. So this one might run long, guys. Deal with it.
Games things.
Yeah. So let's see, where do we want to start then? Jesus, do we want to... I mean, there were a couple of things that were announced at PAX East that were...
You want to start off with Ouya?
Yeah, yeah, so that's...
I think that's a GDC thing, but...
I think it's...
We'll get to PAX.
A little bit of this, a little bit of that.
So Ouya is a thing. It's
yeah.
The $99 Android console that was kickstarted in like 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And got like $8.5 million.
God,
over the length of its Kickstarter run,
it's fucking crazy. The amount I still can't like cope with the dollar amounts that I'm seeing on these things. It doesn't.
It's insane. But really, really cool. To see
no,
these
really,
being funded.
Yeah, incredibly impressive. And now the people who had Kickstarted it have an early like preview, like console, an actual
yeah,
Ouya in
the
their homes now.
That level got
yeah.
the developer. Build or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I read something on it recently, actually, where it was someone who had some hands-on with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, it's a $100 console, so it's $100 for both of the you know, tiny cube itself as well as the controller. And they say that, unfortunately, you can kind of feel that $100 in
yeah.
the controller a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget.
I think the word they used was spongy for the buttons.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like the A, B, X, Y.
That's
or
not
ABCD,
good.
I don't know what they use. But.
Oh, yeah, well, the four.
The four buttons. And also latency was an issue that I heard about with the controller.
Ooh.
They said it was very noticeable.
Wow.
And that's a huge problem.
That is. That's weird. You think they would be play-tested out.
I know. But maybe that's what now is for. It's not actually released yet. June 4th is the date. It will be available online and in retail stores. So hopefully by then there will be some software updates.
That's true, but like, think of how many people already have the consoles now.
Right,
though, I
yeah.
mean, it doesn't get to you know $8.5 million without a couple thousand people.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And you would think that, I mean, because latency is huge. Controller latency.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
That's like the one thing that could make or break this. It's like if the controller latency is so noticeable that it impacts your gameplay in a meaningful way.
No,
you're just
that's,
not going to want to play it.
Yep, that's a direct
fuck-up.
There's
no reason to play it anymore.
Yeah, and there's no, depending on the latency, there's no really adapting around that, and having to adapt around that is not fun, nor is it professional.
Yeah.
I know your console's $100, but, like, come on, with the amount of press that you've been given, with the amount of money
Seriously.
That you've been given,
yeah.
you got to step that stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hopefully that gets changed. If not, I mean, that can doom it in itself.
Yeah. I mean, they have said, though, like, while the hardware is locked down,
mm-hmm.
like, that's not going to change. The software is what they're focusing on.
Oh,
making
okay.
fluid and changing with, you know, tons of updates.
Yeah, okay.
So people are saying maybe by the end of this year it'll be at a place that it needs to be, like...
That'll be nice after 6 months from launch.
Well, yeah, I know. I mean, I'm hoping that at launch they will have at least fixed some of these issues that
are the worst. Sure.
But,
yeah,
I mean, the controller really can't be helped now, but how it feels, at least, but some of the software issues may be patched at launch.
I mean, there's always third-party developers for better controllers,
right.
too. We were just talking about this now. We were trying to think of what was,
yeah.
like, the earliest instance of third-party, like, developed controllers.
It's kind of an interesting subculture kind of thing.
Yeah, no, it really is, because I'm not sure if, like, you know, the old NES had stuff like that, or...
Mm-hmm.
Because I somehow doubt that the Atari did. I don't even think you could remove Atari's controllers from it, but I don't know. I never
you could.
Oh,
actually,
okay. All right. I've never worked with the 2600 at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think I'm remembering that right.
But the earliest instance that I remembered, we talked about this too, was the Genesis controllers with all like the face that just had a million fucking buttons on them.
Yeah.
You had like a turbo aside your start select, and you had like... you had your ABC, but you also had your, like, XYZ as well that were, like, combinations of the A and the B and the B and the C.
Yeah.
There might have been extra shoulder buttons, too. I don't know. It's a wacky-ass controller.
It's like, I just want to play Sonic. All of the buttons jump. That's all I need.
No, no, that's fucking true, actually.
Yeah.
That's, oh, my God.
They all do the same thing. Why do I need six buttons?
Which ones jump? Just smash
them. Everything is jump. I think that was the tagline for Sonic at the time.
Everything is jump. Yeah.
Or it should have been. Anyway.
Everything is Jump is going to be our sister podcast.
Right.
About...
It's just going to be the sounds of people jumping on a floor.
Yeah.
It's going to be 4 hours.
And then a break.
Right.
And then the next, yeah, four.
Yeah. A break of 15 minutes where we're like, oh man, I'm really tired of jumping.
Yeah.
And then 4 more hours of jumping.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know,
these are all terrible ideas.
I can't do 4 hours of jumping, so we're probably going to have to loop some of that. So that
right.
editing is, that's going to take some time away from
exactly.
the blog. So.
So I guess what we're announcing here.
Yeah. We.
Is that we are sarcastic assholes.
Spoilers, guys.
So that's Ouya. Those are. I think that's all the Ouya news.
I think that's the longest time that we've ever.
I mean,
held
actually,
a joke
there was. Yeah,
laughing. Go us.
We should
right.
get a medal for that.
One day we
or not.
This is like a, like comedy endurance training. One day we'll just
yeah.
be able to go a whole podcast keeping a straight face.
Just
at
one joke.
The worst ideas.
So there's a new console. It's us. We're creating a console. Give us $8.5 million.
We will go to your house
and
reenact
more...
the games that you want to see.
It's not so much a console as it is a live experience. That's too much Molyneux for me.
I think that David Cage would be all over it.
Oh.
Yeah. So we should probably write him a letter.
Yes. Because people still write letters. Anyway.
Fuck you!
Don't be that way, man. Oh, so we did get a look at some of the user interface of Ouya.
I did not see too much of it, but I did read a bit. I mean,
okay.
everyone seems to be going kind of the very simplistic block style.
Yeah, totally.
That
and there's
I guess that Xbox is known for.
Yeah,
somewhat.
I think that's what I always think of as like the first person to do that when I see these. Like it's the same way that
Xbox the person.
Yes, Xbox the person. Did I say person?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Well, I mean, the first... Whatever. It's stupid.
Words.
Whatever. But no, I mean, you're right. They did kind of pioneer that, like, tile grid sort of
yeah.
format
even,
that we're used to seeing.
Even Big Picture Mode is doing that now.
Yeah, yeah. Which I really want to use more.
I just... yesterday, I don't know if you watched my vlog, but I hooked up my PC. I brought it, lugged it downstairs.
Oh,
hooked
did
it up
you really?
To my TV.
Because you had the whole
mode.
Day to yourself, so that wouldn't...
Exactly.
Well, that's fucking sweet.
It was amazing.
What did you play?
I played a little Mark the Ninja. which was, oh, I just love that game so much.
I finally watched some gameplay of that. I'm really intrigued. Oh, it's I was looking at it to compare, because I know you said before that Mark of the Ninja's art style is like a little bit like...
It's, yeah, I was wrong about that. That was from a small glimpse I looked at.
I mean,
game.
In a sentence, kind of, yeah. But yeah. It is similar, like cartoony. But yeah, I actually saw some of the gameplay for the first time, and it looks really solid. It looks really good. Really good.
Yeah. And there was actually the people who developed that, Cly Games, they just had an interesting GDC panel about their development process for that.
Oh, cool.
It was really interesting.
Neat. I love that shit.
But yeah, so I played that. I played PID, which is a recent indie game.
That is a game that I've heard of for like the last year and a half.
I just got
it
for my birthday, and it's really pretty good.
What is it?
I quite like it, actually. It's like a platformer. You play as this little boy who is stuck on a planet because he slept through his bus stop, and now he's trying to get home. But the planet is like locked down by this regime because the king and queen left. It's a pretty good story.
That sounds really
and
cool.
The gameplay is a lot of fun too. Sometimes it's frustrating, but that's not necessarily a bad thing.
In what ways
for
do you think?
It's hard.
Is it purely difficulty, or is it kind of figuring out what you need to do?
A lot of it is just difficulty. Like, the first boss battle I encountered took me quite a while to beat. But now that I think back, it didn't take me too long. Just, you know, a couple of plays. I just had to keep repeating and repeating. I kept dying.
No, I got you. But that can be, I mean, especially with the first boss, that can be kind of frustrating.
Yeah.
Because you kind of want it to be a slow build. Like, right. Well, I mean, it depends on the experience you're trying to create, but mm-hmm. most of the time you kind of want it to be a build.
Yeah.
I mean, restarting 2, 3, 4 times for a boss, depending on how long the boss takes.
Yeah.
Not that big of a deal, but the first boss, it sounds like you spent some time on it.
Quite a bit, yeah. At least a good afternoon and another day, probably.
Jeez.
Like, not an entire day, but... You know, I took a day off.
Sure, yeah. Pretty solid, though?
Yeah, yeah, it's really good. I'm loving the art style and the music. Everything is
cool. It's probably pretty
really
cheap,
together.
Too, right?
Yeah, I don't remember, maybe $15, but
did
it's
you,
one of those
did you pick it up during the,
cheap indie
the
Steam.
Steam Indie Spring Sale thingy?
No, this was, I got it for my birthday, so we bought it just a few weeks before that, so
okay.
A couple weeks ago.
Cool.
Beginning of March, probably.
Yeah. So, but the Ouya's interface though, nice and simple.
Right.
I like that. I'm seeing more of that streamlined kind of
mm-hmm.
style.
And the opening screen, the first boot up screen, is very clean. There's just four sections on it. There's like play, discover, make, and
one
other thing that mm-hmm. I can't remember. But you know, really simple. You choose one of those, and you go to like the store, or you go to your games, and then it's self-explanatory from there, just like
right,
Xbox
yeah.
or big picture.
Yeah, I'd really like to get a handle on it. It seems
oh yeah,
it seems neat.
Really cool.
I'm curious. I haven't seen any of like the way it actually interacts or hooks up to your TV. Is that's not done like through Bluetooth or anything? Is it? Is that done wirelessly or
no? No. I was trying to think. We did get a look at the ports. There are a bunch of ports on the back, so I think it does it HDMI.
Yeah, that's why I would think.
That's probably yeah.
Okay,
that's the only way it would get like. Audio.
Yeah, that's pretty cool because I was thinking like when you think of moving consoles now, that's mm-hmm. that's kind of a. I mean, it used to be more of kind of a lugging this mm-hmm. thing around, and it's gotten to be less so. Like transporting
a bit,
your Wii isn't so bad, but you do have the Wii itself, the base if you want the cord for the you know motion detecting the power
and
source
got, like,
as well as the
component cables.
Yeah. But, I mean, with the size of the Ouya, which, I mean,
looks... I want to see more HDMI.
Yes, for sure. Which, I mean, it seems like it's just a little bit bigger than a sizable brick of cheese.
Yeah.
These are technical measurements.
Yes. Sizable brick of cheese.
Yes. One that you would share and hopefully not
eat by yourself.
Where
does it land on the Mohs hardness scale?
What is that? Is that a thing? Is that a real thing?
That is a real thing.
Is that whole idea where it's like, oh, diamond can cut glass, but glass can't cut itself or something
so.
Stupid?
It's a scale that I remember from science class that I love to insert into conversation because it sounds funny. it's a great way to put it's a great thing to put a joke against.
That's great, but. So mode hardness, Mohs hardness scale. Where are we? What are we thinking? Can we
on the Ouya?
Yeah. Can we get a range on that?
Maybe a 6.
I don't even know the fucking scale.
You don't know the scale. You didn't memorize Mozart.
I gotta resign. I gotta stop. Mike is he's a little bit much for me. Yeah, I don't know the hardness scale. It'll just be Mike from now on.
You're out. You're out of the blog. You're out of this thing that was your idea.
Shutting it down.
Yep.
So yeah, that was the Ouya.
See what we mean about taking a joke and just running with it?
I think this is actually better.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Was that all? I know there were some USB ports, probably an Ethernet port.
Probably for storage for the USB thing, because I don't know how much actual, like...
And one guy... Ooh, there's actually a spin-off story I want to get into about the Ouya after one quick thing, but okay. USB keyboard is an option.
Because
this thing is basically running Android.
Yeah, right. And if you want to like search titles and stuff like that, I mean,
right.
You can do that with controller, but...
It's as anyone super
who's,
annoying.
Yeah, as anyone who's ever used an Xbox controller to type anything ever, it sucks cock. It's terrible.
Definitely.
So what was the spin-off story?
Right, okay. So, in the hands-on for Ouya, a bunch of people are looking through the store, and they're finding emulators. Which are a big point of...
which are kind of illegal!
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. Which, you know, the big... Basically just Nintendo.
Yeah, like, no one's emulating old
else,
Xbox games.
No, not so much.
I mean, maybe old PlayStation games.
Yeah,
maybe.
I've done that.
Yeah.
But
mostly Nintendo.
So there are emulators in there, and they asked Ouya about that, and the I think she's the founder, Orman is her name.
Okay.
Can't remember her first name. I apologize.
We don't know names.
So
the lady who made the box.
Right. That's how formal we are here. Lady who made the box says... she was like, as long as it follows the content guidelines, it can be in there. And I guess that includes emulators, but it does not include ROMs. So there can be emulators there, but there can't be ROMs.
Oh, okay. So they can...
So the story from Polygon...
So they can give you the pipe, but you have
Polygon.
To find the crack.
Basically, yeah. Pretty much.
I need to stop with analogies on this case.
No, but it's really interesting that emulators are there. So it's like,
no, that is interesting that they can get around it by that logic.
Maybe this is just me, but it seems kind of like they're saying publicly, hey, emulators are apps that follow the guidelines, and then behind closed doors they're like, hey, if people can play Super Mario World on this thing, great.
Hey, do you want to play Mother 3 on your fucking TV?
That's great for us, exactly.
Yeah.
So that would, I mean, emulating old Nintendo and Sega games
would be
a huge selling point for them. While illegal, it would definitely benefit them. So it's, also in regards to possible litigation, is in their best interest to keep saying what they're saying.
Yeah, that's a bit of a gray area that they could get.
As a startup, they definitely want to keep away from...
That's kind of
being in a courtroom with Nintendo.
That's kind of ballsy. Yeah. No. Oh, Nintendo. Oh.
They will definitely.
I mean, they've.
Yeah.
They're the Oprah of game companies in terms of how much money they have. So
yes, and they are the Apple of litigious game companies.
Yes. Yeah. No, I remember.
So there is that.
They're pretty fierce in court.
But I think it was I was reading Penny Arcade.
Mm.
They weren't able to. They didn't kickstart it, so they weren't able to get their hands on a developer unit. And I don't think they were able to get their hands on a review unit.
Hmm.
But
I mean, it is coming out in like June.
Right, yeah. But they were able to... They tweeted like, hey, does anybody have an Ouya they're not interested in? We'll pay you cash. And some guy was like, yeah. So they got one.
Oh, all right.
And so they did a hands-on, and the guy who was doing the hands-on was talking about the fact that he could find emulators in the store. And... This one particular emulating app, he was able to find. It had a function where it could search for and install ROMs right from the app.
Oh.
So he plugs in a USB keyboard, searches for Super Mario World. It's there. You can download and install ROMs right from the emulator app. So there's
that. I think they're gonna get caught up on that. I think the fact that
does
it's
that
assisting,
violate the content guidelines.
You know what?
Then?
I wouldn't be. I think it could be swung in a way that it totally could.
Yeah.
Because that's totally different from having a standalone ROM app in which you can
exactly.
insert like, or, sorry. I mean, a separate, like ROM, like an emulator. I mean, it would be different if there was other like ROM search like apps that they weren't associated with, but that's a function of the emulator.
That makes it a totally different thing.
Right. I would be surprised if some shit didn't come up about that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a difference between handing somebody a bong and handing somebody a bong and the telephone number of a dealer.
Yes.
See, I went your drug route. It works.
Yeah, see?
There we go.
It's all just, you know, heroin dens.
Right.
For Ouya.
But I think that's definitely going to be something really interesting to look at with Ouya going forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, best of luck to him. I mean,
absolutely.
I hope something... I guess a settlement can be reached. Yeah. I mean, I hope it doesn't get to that point. I hope it's just a matter of, we'll take him down.
I'm thinking Ouya will probably be smart about it and will be able to stay away from any sort of litigation.
I think they would want to, especially since they're up and starting.
And it seems like what they definitely want to say is that that's illegal and we won't support that in any way. And if, you know, we find an app that does that, it'll be removed.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like they definitely want to be built on the merit of their own games and their own developers.
Right.
And I think that's something they can definitely do. Mm-hmm. So they really have no need for it.
Yeah, hopefully. Ouya is going to be an interesting kind of thing to look at in terms of when it's actually released and reviews come out for it and stuff.
Definitely.
That is a $100 console.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's sort of, it's the Kickstarter darling. It is the...
Like the mascot.
It's the mascot. It's the flagship of new, cheap Android consoles to sort of blow up the industry.
Yeah. Oh, related to Android consoles, though, we saw this Game Stick?
Yes.
Very...
PlayJam Game Stick.
PlayJam Game Stick.
Which sounds like they can just make an 80s-themed commercial and sell a million of these things.
So...
The PlayJam Game Stick in your box of cereal.
I can only hope.
Yes.
Yeah, dogs.
Dogs. So many dogs. God. Welcome to my neighborhood.
Welcome to Eaten by Dogs with Mike and Zach.
The content of Eaten by Dogs consists of, someone call for help.
No, that guy sounds big. That sounds like a big goddamn dog.
Yep. Not going to argue with you there.
I know you had werewolves in your backyard.
Yes. The werewolves.
So, yeah... Play Stick Game Jam.
Also, I'm pretty sure someone is here right now looking at our bathroom. Yep, there's a guy here talking about...
Hey, bathrooms are important, man.
Stuff has to happen with our shower.
Yeah.
And there's something to do with studs, which I guess are a thing in your house.
They are. They are. It's actually a pretty major part of support for a lot of houses.
Yes.
You see this room? There are
support.
There are studs in this room. What?
Yeah, there are. High five. I had to.
And joke of the year goes to.
Oh.
So PlayStick Game Jam it in your TV
live,
stick dude. Game.
PlayStick Game Jam.
Yep.
Way to say it backwards.
PlayStick Game Jam it in your TV. Our first series of sponsors coming to the podcast. But we
the first person podcast simulator support comes from the studs in this room. In more ways than one.
Oh, yeah!
Ladies.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, God, someone stop this now. Someone stop. Okay, can we try to be serious?
No.
So
the Game Stick, though. We saw a little bit of... It's interesting the way it works, because it's just...
It's really cool, actually.
Yeah. It looks like a USB stick, but it's an HDMI. You throw it
it's
into
your...
It's
basically just a little HDMI plug, yeah.
Yeah, and you throw it in your TV, and... That's it. It's
that's
got games
it.
On it that you play.
The console is the size of a USB stick.
Yeah, I'm curious. Does it stream at all? Does it have Wi-Fi capabilities to pick up stuff, and that's kind of how it runs the games, or is it just a really like?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Wi-Fi.
Okay.
Connected.
All right, and I was wondering because like how much I don't know how much memory it has on it itself.
I want to say 8 gigs, but I'm not positive.
And that's pretty sizable for, like, you know, mobile game stuff.
Right, yeah. If it's
Android
games, that should be fine.
It's interesting, though, because, you know, that even further... That's, like taking a concept of you having it be so small and cheap and, like, going to an extreme, like, hey, there's no console. You plug this into your TV and that's it.
It's amazing. And the... just from a form factor point of view, the stick itself, like, plugs into or sort of clicks into and hides away in the bottom of the controller. So it's like the controller is the whole thing, and you pull out the stick,
mm-hmm.
and like you can take this thing anywhere and game on any TV.
Yeah, it's
which is a great selling point.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think it's
and it's also $79, which is $20 cheaper.
Right.
Than the Ouya.
So already before launch we are seeing competitors like spring up on this
right.
like Android marketplace gaming.
Yeah, it's an exciting place. It's like Android is kind of the PC of mobile platforms because of just how much
yeah.
how open it is. Mm-hmm. Like there are a lot of iOS exclusive games and games are doing really well on iOS.
Mm-hmm.
But Android is like I said, they're the PC of the mobile marketplace. I
think that's a fair comparison. Yeah,
they're so much more open and sort of friendly to hacking and coding and junk like that.
Right.
To the point where I wonder if the next like a Minecraft could happen on the Android platform.
Yeah. Right.
Which I kind of hesitate to say because like. For Android, you can install outside apps, and that's how I install basically all of the Humble Bundle Android games.
Okay.
But there is still that closed marketplace, the Google Play Store.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of app stores. Amazon has an app store, because with their bastardized version of Android, and I can get angry about that another day, but... It is a closed store with an authorization process.
Yeah.
But there are outside options to do that. And I'm sure you can install apps from the outside on your iPhone, but like Android is the platform where you just check a box and you can install outside apps that are not from the Play Store.
I think you have to jump through a couple of hoops to get
things. You probably have to jailbreak your iPhone to
yes.
do that. Yeah.
Which I have no idea how that works or what that is because I don't have one and I don't want to do it.
Right.
So, yeah.
So, yeah. Android consoles, it's huge.
I mean, that's the thing, though. How much of a dent will they really make in the market? I mean, how much do we think that they're going to, you know, are they just kind of like going to operate on their own, like small level, kind of
right.
how mobile games have been operating now?
Yeah.
Are mobile games going to work in a living room environment? That's
something I've been thinking about, whether this sort of Android console revolution will split the Android game marketplace between like games that are more for touch and games that are more for the TV and,
yeah.
and a controller. Because like games that are more optimized for touch don't necessarily work really well with a controller.
No,
like,
right.
I can't even imagine playing Sword and Sorcery with a controller.
No, right.
It works with a mouse because you're still clicking directly on the environment,
mm-hmm.
but I can't imagine using a controller.
Yeah, and in a similar note, kind of to, I guess, reverse that, I mean, we were talking before about how there was a like a mobile Humble Bundle kind of thing that included
mm-hmm.
Metal Slug, but I heard people kind of complain that, like, yeah, well, Metal Slug doesn't exactly work
it's
on a
still,
touch screen.
It's
a
really
very,
hard.
It's a really, like, kind of tactile game.
It is, yeah.
It's kind of quick.
And, like, anything with that has to have an on-screen thumbstick and on-screen buttons...
I don't trust that. I have that not...
It just doesn't work well.
Yeah.
Like, it's still a fun game, but I found it frustrating to play.
Yeah, that's a shame, too, because Mouse Lock is great. Mouse Lock
yeah.
is so much fun.
It was amazing for the amount of time that I wasn't frustrated with the controls.
Yeah, right. You know, I haven't tried the... I just don't trust, like, on-screen thumbstick stuff. I need to
mm-hmm.
eventually find a game where that's a thing, but, like, I don't know. Some people don't really mind it.
Yeah. So I think that's one of the biggest reasons why we're seeing these sort of Android consoles, and even the NVIDIA Shield, you know, that... Like, it's a controller with a flip-up screen.
Oh, right.
That's running Android.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
So we're seeing more of these Android-based consoles with some kind of controller metaphor because maybe there's a great consumer desire for that.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I only wish success for, you know, this new kind of field of platforms that we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious. I really wonder how
really
well
exciting,
some of them can
I think it could
do
really
do.
Well.
Yeah.
It's cool.
It is cool. Games are cool.
Games are cool.
Yeah.
Swing. It's where we freeze frame and jump in the air.
And
too bad it's an audio podcast.
I have no words. Okay.
All right.
So let's go back in time a little bit. There were a couple of announcements at PAX East for some... You know, games here and there. One big one that happened, I don't know if it was at PAX East or maybe a little bit before, but Dungeon Defenders 2 is definitely going to be a thing.
Exciting.
So to frame it, though, the first Dungeon Defenders is kind of this strange, this interesting blend between like a third-person like hack-and-slash RPG with tower defense. So you know,
which I recently just got on my Android device.
Cool. No, it's, I mean, it's really fun stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, you do an initial, like, setup wave where you, like, construct your towers and everything,
right.
And then there's a wave of, like, baddies that come in, and you, like, you know, keep repeating that until you're at the end of the level, and it's pretty fun stuff, but they...
And there's local and online co-op.
Yeah, right. So it's up to... I think it depends on the map. They've done up to, like, 8 people, depending on the size of the maps, which I cannot imagine. That's so fucking much.
Totally.
But... They've announced that there's going to be some changes to the second one, most notably this like co-op competitive multiplayer like edition that's kind of going to be styled after League of Legends in a sense, in terms of that it's like this MOBA style playing.
Right.
So that's we haven't really seen any of that yet. There was just a trailer. I was looking at some of the brief, like, gameplay of what I thought was the co-op multiplayer, the regular, you know, tower defense version of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that's really smart. And another thing about it is that it's going to be free to play.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, I don't
think
I heard that.
No, that's a very interesting route. And they, the way that they're setting up is, it is kind of sounds like a League of Legends skeleton, because they're going to have different players that they rotate out every week. Or every 2 weeks.
Right.
And that's how League of Legends operates. They've got this big catalog of characters, and like, they say, okay, these ones are free for you guys to fuck around with, for like, this week or two, to see if you like them, so that maybe later on, like, build points as you go and buy them eventually.
Yeah.
I think that's the same kind of model that they're going to be working on.
Okay, that's interesting.
Which, I mean, like, taking that and plastering it on the Dungeon Defenders kind of play style, I will eat that shit up.
Yeah, that's great.
Because, like, I've played League, and it's... The learning curve is hard, the community's not always the most supportive, and... It rubbed me a little bit the wrong way, so I don't really play it anymore. And if you do, that's fine. I mean, it is fun. But that's just so neat. That's such an interesting idea.
That's really cool, and that's really heartening as an example of a sequel being like really iterative, which is a hard word to say.
Such a hard word.
But yeah, it's like this isn't just hey, look, different maps.
Right.
Which is great.
I think they've already got. I think the number was up to, I think it was around 20 different characters.
Oh, wow.
For that, which is a huge leap from what they had before, which was,
like,
they had 4, and then they made,
they added
like, some other versions, which are pretty much, like, just different, like, stat changes and, like, some, like, ability changes of the 4, and then they added, like, maybe 3 more later. But, no, I mean, they're talking, like, 20 different dudes now, and
that's
there will be more added later, too, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, nothing but...
I think the biggest question here, though, is will there be Team Fortress 2 companions?
No, it's going to be Half-Life 3 companions.
Okay, great.
Yeah. So you're going to have
wonderful,
you know, Gordon and Alex's dead father.
Spoiler alert.
Oh yeah, for what, a 10-year-old fucking classic. Give a shit, guys.
10 years? I don't think it's 10 years.
It's no, everything is 10 years. Remember, Team Fortress 2 is also 10 years old.
Also 10 years old.
Yeah, StarCraft.
Really.
The first StarCraft, 10 years old.
Mm.
Fez is like 5 years old.
Fez is 5 years
Fez
old.
Fez is 5 years
now.
Old.
Okay.
Yeah.
Legend of Zelda, 10 years old.
I mean,
right?
well, come on, which one?
Fuck you.
Moving on.
I'm gonna get my giant ass book out.
Do it.
Tell you.
Yeah, you're the Zelda Bible that you got.
The timeline.
Everyone has one but me.
I'm sorry.
Which is okay, because, I mean, it's a lot of art stuff, which
I'm
like.
I'm sorry that you can't worship with us, then.
Sorry that you cannot join us.
You
join
haven't
our,
accepted our faith.
Yeah, our Saturday night cult. Speaking of Fez, though, that is coming to Steam soon.
Yes.
Finally.
Oh.
We've been waiting for so long.
I have,
Because, you know, Fez looks like a gorgeous game, and we're both big fans of Indie Game the Movie.
Mm.
I've probably seen it, like, 4 times now.
Yes.
Just a few too many for me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I've wanted to play Fez so bad, like, especially watching that. Just, so, I think that's coming in May. I think.
Really? Okay. I hadn't heard a date. I knew he wanted to bring
it
to Steam.
I thought it was really, really soon.
Yeah.
I think it's around May.
Okay.
Hopefully.
And just hearing him talk about how much Microsoft had locked down the fact that it was exclusive to Xbox made me really sad.
Yeah.
Like, now that that's... Just having to wait for that to be up mm-hmm. is really sucky.
No, that's got to be heartbreaking.
Coming,
yeah.
I'm really happy about that.
Good old Microsoft.
Yeah.
Such good guys.
Which is... It's so strange that... They had to wait for Microsoft for it to be available on the PC, which, by the way, is Microsoft.
But they're not raking in the money from...
Microsoft is doing this thing all wrong.
Yeah.
And it makes me angry.
Well, I mean, we keep hearing people talking about how, you know, Microsoft's not really the best to work with when you're, you know, starting out. I mean,
yeah.
Ed McMillan and Tommy Refernes, mm-hmm. if that is how you pronounce his last name.
Right.
It's a strange name. It's almost as strange as iterative.
Right. Full circle.
Yes.
But yeah, they had some difficulty as well.
They've actively discussed
how much
they've...
They've had nothing but difficulty with consoles. They had problems with WiiWare as well.
Yeah, and that was... I think that was a matter of space, too.
Yeah.
Because they were using such big... detailed music files or something like that. I think that ended up being one of the big issues. It was something strange and stupid.
Mm-hmm. Also, they didn't like that Dr. Fetus would give the finger. Because it's a family console.
Yeah, whatever, Nintendo. Whatever. I'm tired of them.
Fuck your family console.
Tired of you guys.
Fuck your family, too.
Yeah. Nintendo. All of them. Sorry, Nintendo.
I love you so much, Nintendo.
Sometimes. Not now. Well, I mean... I don't know.
For some things and not for others.
Yeah.
You're like a person.
That's weird. That's another discussion for another day.
Anyway.
So, speaking of Nintendo, though, there was a recent GDC thing popping back into the future now, to GDC. There was a brief press conference, and this might not turn out to be a real, discussion, because it's just a thing to note on, but they had a small little talk where they, you know, essentially established their... intentions of making the Wii U more friendly to indie devs.
Right, okay.
Which I think that's going to be the trend that we're going to see. Because then, you know, Sony kind of really, really pushed for that, and that's mm-hmm. cool.
And, you know, they had Journey, who just swept the GDC awards.
Right. So now Nintendo's following suit. And I hope when Microsoft does it, everyone just fucking boos, takes off their clothes and throws them at them, as well as any other people around them.
Yes.
Throwing individuals.
Yes.
Or everyone just laughs.
Yeah. I mean, they did have some indie support. I mean, it was broken, horrible,
and not really
in your eye indie support.
Yeah.
But it was there, whereas I think Nintendo... in this, the past generation of, you know, the 360, the PS3, and the mm-hmm. Wii, I think they were the platform to have the least indie support.
Well, I mean, it depends on, what you're looking at, because there are some... I think
it seems that way to me. Anyway.
Yeah, no, I think it's just a matter of what was and wasn't, popularized, because there was a good amount of stuff on WiiWare, but I didn't know
it
about
might have
it.
Been
I had
there,
no fucking idea.
There was just no visibility
for
an indie developer.
I mean,
platform.
Cave's story is really the only thing I know for sure was...
Yeah.
On that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then that was ported to the 3DS.
Yeah, it was. I have no idea how that one is.
Yeah.
I've just played the Cave Story Plus version.
Yeah.
So good. That's a good game.
Amazing. But yeah, so I think it's a good move, and I think everybody is finally starting to, you know, look up and take notice at indie developers.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's a good...
They're making great games.
No, I mean, it's a good financial decision, too. I mean,
yeah, definitely.
It just makes sense. Mm-hmm. Indie devs sometimes do make a lot of money off of their stuff, starting from, you know, nothing.
And I think it's a big opportunity as well, especially for Nintendo, whose new console has this crazy thing that developers can't seem to get a handle on.
Yeah. I'm hoping someone
just
bringing
more devs into the mix makes sense, because some guy in his garage might have a great use for the Wii U gamepad.
No, absolutely. I think that's what people are getting excited about, too, with Nintendo announcing this, because... You know, we saw that with the Wii, it was used sometimes in clever ways, but there are probably some better ways that it could have been used.
Yeah.
Outside of, you know, just Nintendo's third-party developers and even, their first-party, you know, titles. But I'm just curious as to how innovative Nintendo will, let indie devs be, too.
Yeah.
Because I know that they've got some pretty strict policies in terms mm-hmm. of what they want out of games.
Right.
I think it'll be interesting just how... you know, not stringent they are on that specific community.
I think it's in their best interest to sort of just let them do their thing.
I think so too, but
like,
I don't see Nintendo.
And let us give you money.
I want that. I want that so badly, but I don't see Nintendo doing it.
No, I think you're right.
I think they're always just kind of have their head in the door, maybe, and
yeah. I don't want to see a repeat of WiiWare. That would just make me very sad.
That was a clunky kind of system.
So at least an evolution, I guess, is what I'm hoping for. But they could do so much to let indie devs just have at this strange new form factor that no one likes or understands yet.
Fucking indie devs, D&D.
Yeah.
Please.
I mean, because the best we've seen from the big box developers so far is like Arkham City Armored Edition.
Yeah.
Oh boy, your inventory is down there.
Yeah. I heard
that's all we've seen it.
I heard Lego City Undercover is actually pretty good. I don't really know if that utilizes the touchpad so much.
Also Zombie U, I heard, was a good use.
I heard that's a little bit mixed, but for the most part people were like either, yeah, this is all right, or like they really loved it. Right. So I guess that technically that's a success.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard that was an interesting one too.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see what they'll do for their new Zelda game with it.
I'm scared.
Yeah. Well, of
by interested, do you mean terrified and hope that you will actually want this
one? That's my optimistic way of saying I am terrified for the Zelda franchise.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know what? The last two did not hit home with me. I tried playing both of them. I tried...
The DS?
Just the main platform. Just the two Wii ones.
So Twilight Princess and Skyward Sword?
Yes. I tried both of them. I really tried Twilight Princess real bad, and it looked like it got cool later, but there's just like this initial block of a few hours where it's just some dumb shit. I don't want to play this weird environment kind of game where I'm just gathering up these weird glowy spirits to advance. And it's not just it's like a dozen of them. It's like 15 of these fucking things that you just kind of need to maneuver around this environment with the Wii controller stuff and try and capture. And that's the point where I just I completely lost interest in it. That wasn't...
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and that wasn't a developed exclusively for Wii game.
That's true.
That was their sort of GameCube/Wii game.
Yeah.
So, Skyward Sword developed exclusively, specifically for the Wii.
Skyward Sword, I will say, I didn't give it as much of a chance as I feel like I should have.
Mm-hmm.
I might have played 2 hours of it.
Okay.
I think it's a matter of breaking the wall of, you know, being, I guess, just learning how to work with, you know, the Wii Motion Plus stuff.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. It's weird. It's strange. It's not a regular controller, so...
Right.
Yeah. I wonder what they're going to do.
Yeah, it's... This latest console has, I guess for a single-player experience, less of an emphasis on the Wii Remote and more of a sort of controller with the tablet.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see where they go for that.
That's at least hopeful.
It's got to be inventory management. You know the screen is going to be inventory management.
Yes. Hopefully they come up with something a little bit more clever than that, too.
Yeah.
But at the same... It's a weird...
Even just a map would
It's a
be
weird
really
give and take. Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be a map. I'm sure there's going to be an inventory.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's the question of what can they do that is neat but not super obtrusive?
Right, exactly.
So,
and also, to the side of that, where does that go? Where does that functionality go, or what happens to it when you're playing just on the tablet's screen?
Yeah. Because
there's that functionality where you can turn off the TV
and
just play
with
that.
Mm-hmm.
So it just seems like a really difficult platform to develop for.
Yep.
It's crazy.
That's about right.
It could do so well, I think.
I think there's just a lot of unknowns.
Yeah.
And I think even as consumers, we're people who actively follow this stuff, there's still a lot of unknowns.
Definitely, yeah.
So I feel like that generally is just an intimidating idea to developers.
Yeah.
They probably understand much more than we do, but it is funky.
Yeah. I think it remains to be seen over the life of this thing, whether or not it was just built to fail.
Mm-hmm.
We shall see.
Yep. What else? Oh, Transistor is a thing that was announced.
Oh, Transistor.
At PAX East.
Oh, love.
Or either at or... Again, I don't know the time. It was around the time of PAX
East. Yeah, you know, it was around PAX East.
Fuck off. Right. Fact checkers, guys, just...
Because we know you listen.
Yeah. God. So,
Supergiant.
Yes. So Supergiant Games is developing that, and those are the same guys who did Bastion, which was a Bastion. Title that a lot of people dug. It was pretty good.
I dug so much.
Combat wasn't my favorite in that, but that's really the only thing I didn't like about it.
Okay.
It was just, I guess it could have been polished a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Still good, though.
Sure.
Still had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it.
Yeah. But we're only given so much with this new title. We know that there's a girl with a sword, Wu female protagonists.
Yeah.
And I think it's framed, she's like a pop idol or something.
Yeah.
And then she
like
finds
assassins
this...
come after her.
Yes.
And she finds this weapon.
Yep. That's about all we know. And that the combat system is kind of altered.
Right.
To where you can kind of slow things down a good amount, or like even stop your situation.
Freeze time
and plan out what you were going to do.
Yeah.
Which I'm really happy about that.
Yeah.
I think
it looks really well implemented.
Yeah. And
that's very cool.
One thing I noticed about the trailer is that the point of view seems to be pulled back so much more than Bastion.
Yeah, it did.
Which makes me wonder, is that because you're going to be fighting a good amount of these dudes?
It's probably to be able to see the entire battlefield.
Okay.
I would think.
Yeah.
Or at least a good amount of it.
Mm-hmm. It's tough because when it's pulled back so much, it's a little bit less detailed, I guess.
Mm.
Everything still looks good, but...
Definitely.
It's
that same sort of Supergiant Games art style, which
yes.
I really love.
Oh, God, it looks really cool. Looks so cool.
They have some great people on their art team over there.
Yeah. I think the guy who played the narrator in Bastion is the voice of the sword?
Yeah, I think he's coming back.
Yeah. I think the sword talks.
Sure.
I don't know.
That very well could be.
I thought it did. I could be wrong.
That would make sense, I guess.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's the narrator again. I don't know. I heard one of those. Either he's the sword, or the sword is the narrator.
Whoa. I'm hoping that they don't try and... maybe they sprinkle in some of that narrative stuff, because that was cool in Bastion.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want it to become super... Was super? Wait, no. Giant Games?
Supergiant.
Fucking damn it. I don't want there to be Supergiant Stick.
Yeah?
I don't want every game of theirs to be known as this... overall interesting narrative idea.
Yeah.
If some of that was sprinkled in again, if there was some alluding to that, totally cool, but I think then I don't know, I guess it would be a little bit too much like Bastion if
mm-hmm.
that happened.
Yeah, I don't want it to just be futuristic Bastion.
Right.
And I think that they are using the combat system to try to get away from that a little bit more.
Mm.
Maybe because they are using the reactive narration as much.
Right. Which was cool. I have to again.
Yes.
It was a really neat thing in Bastion.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, a lot of people are excited about that. A lot of people, really,
yeah.
really psyched.
I am one of them.
Yes. I forget when that was supposed to drop or the estimated.
Yeah.
Jeez. I want to say early next year or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But yeah, Transistor. Look out for that thing.
Yeah,
guys.
Is that their tagline? Look out for that thing, guys.
Yep.
Got
that's,
it.
Yeah, if you go to their site, just that's the only
Transistor,
text that's on there.
Colon, look out for that thing, ... guys.
Guys. So other than not being funny...
Right.
There were a couple of other games I just want to mention briefly. There's Raise the Dead, which I don't think there was any video of that I saw, but it's essentially Pikmin with zombies...
Yes.
Cool. It's got this almost Plants vs. Zombies cartoony style to it. So it's not this uber serious you are zombies and you are invading this town and, slaughtering these people. It's you command these cute zombies and you bite other people to get more zombies, and they're
uh-huh.
really cool and neat, and so yeah, that I mean the overall concept is that makes sense. That's
yeah.
cool. I don't like that.
Totally.
I think that might be on Steam's Greenlight.
Oh.
I think it is. I'm pretty sure it is.
So go vote, y'all.
Vote that thing.
Yes.
Another tagline.
Also, while we're on the subject of voting for Greenlight things, vote for Delver's Drop, because it was kickstarted, and it's amazing.
Yeah, do that. I need to look into that more. because I'm seeing a few more things about it. Mm-hmm. I'm getting more intrigued. So I think it's... I remember seeing a trailer and not being super impressed, but I think I just need to look harder into it. It seems... It does seem super neat. Yeah. Go do that.
Go do things.
The other one is Tiny Brains, which I told you about before. It's like four-player co-op...
Right.
Portal, almost? There's no portal gun, but you are like these miniature science experiments, and you're in these different chambers, and you need to solve puzzles to get from one chamber to the next. So I guess in that way, it is like Portal, but it's very different. Obviously, the cooperative elements. Also, you have specific powers to help you get through these rooms, and there's also, I guess, hordes of things that come after you, so one person might be like fighting them off while other people are trying to solve the puzzle and stuff. All similarly cartoony, but looks gorgeous at the same time. Graphics are pretty nice. Pretty good environment.
Sweet.
So, yeah. And then one last thing. It's Shovel Knight, which we actually both saw.
And it looks great.
It looks like it's ripped right out of a Sega.
Totally.
That is actually another thing that is being kickstarted.
Yes.
Not quite reached its goal.
They're about $9,000 away.
Yeah, it's not that much. Yeah. They got 15 more days.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I might... If I wasn't moving, I would consider giving them some money because it just looks so damn cool.
Yeah.
Like, it breathes Sega platformer. No, that's just something that we're excited about.
Oh, yeah.
And a few other people are excited about. Mostly the retro community.
Yeah. It looked... Watching it, it gave me the vibe of definitely a Sega Genesis game. And, like, I got that feeling that, like, I don't think I've gotten from a game in a while of, like, it looks like it's going to be stupidly hard... But you don't mind. Like, I don't know how to explain that feeling that I had with games as a kid like that.
Like that retro difficulty
kind
of thing? I guess I know what you're talking about.
It gave me good childhood vibes.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited.
What did that? Owlboy fucking did that for me. The trailer Owlboy.
Yeah.
Definitely a similar vibe.
Yeah.
It just won't come out.
That's what she said.
God damn it. Okay,
I'm sorry
now,
I had to ruin your heartfelt moment. I know.
Now we've hit the Minecraft bedrock here.
Right. We've hit the proverbial bedrock.
God.
We have switched to creative mode and have destroyed that bedrock and have fallen through the world.
So let's get right back up then.
All right.
Not game related. House of Cards.
Oh, man. House of Cards.
This is the part where we should just go, oh, man. Oh, yeah.
Oh, things.
Like, about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You've already finished it appropriately.
Oh, yeah.
If I wasn't watching it with Mika, I probably would have finished it by now, too.
Mm-hmm. I just binge-watched over spring break.
I totally understand
Amazing.
That.
Amazing. Which, Netflix, with this being an original Netflix series, is totally capitalizing on the main way that I think most people use Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
To watch entire seasons at a time.
Absolutely.
Which
they're
is brilliant,
not,
I think.
Yeah, they're not following the dumb TV format of drip-feeding us. Oh, here's one every week. No, fuck it. Like, here's all 14 at once. Like, watch us in 24 hours.
And they're actually, they just signed the Wachowskis to do an original series.
Ooh.
Who did The Matrix.
Neat.
Called Sense8. And I really don't know anything about it, other than the title and who's involved.
This is
and
cool.
They're also releasing it, all of the episodes at once. Like
right, yeah. And I wanted to talk with you about this, because I asked Mika this. It's like, okay, like what is Netflix getting out of this? Obviously, there's a lot of money that's being poured into these projects. I mean, these are not, you know, fucking Kevin Spacey heading this series that is... pretty much free to watch as long as you're paying for Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
What is like the kind of business model there?
Right, yeah. So that's Netflix's next step, is to figure out how to effectively monetize this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And once they can do that, then they will have just stabbed cable in the neck.
Right.
That's the end then.
Cool.
At that point.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
They're just, so many internet things are marching towards that. It's the end of TV. And the beginning of better TV.
Yes.
You know, and it's the end of cable because these people are doing it better,
mm-hmm.
and in a way that users actually want to go with.
Right.
And it's that a la carte option,
mm-hmm.
is that people no longer want to pay for things that they're not watching. Why pay $99 a month if I'm not even watching ESPN 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6?
And the Ocho.
Right.
Which is not real.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, no, absolutely true. But for the time being now, one idea was that Mika said that, well, I mean, Netflix will maybe want to become, like, maybe you will get Netflix for House of Cards. like maybe people will talk and talk and talk, and I mean, $8 a month, people have $8 a month. I have $8 a month and I'm a shitty college student.
Sure.
And maybe that's kind of the angle that they're, I mean, going for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if the Wachowskis come out with this other series, it'll be, yeah, you'll be getting Netflix for like that series as well as House of Cards. And maybe then they'll slowly start like monetizing it as well.
So you're saying that Netflix is using these to say, hey, we have original content, come do this?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that totally makes sense, yeah. It's not only is it just really good content, it's like not just a thing for them to put up and say, hey, we have stuff. It's actually a really good show. Like, mm-hmm. House of Cards is amazing.
Speaking of which, let's get back into that. So all I'm right. up to the third episode, the episode concerning the like Peach Water Tower thing.
Oh, right. Oh, man.
It's just getting better with every episode. I mean, the vibe mm-hmm. that I got from the first one was, yes, this is a very good show, and every like the quality is there. The only thing that was kind of going above my head is I wasn't entirely sure which direction they were going in. I wasn't getting mm-hmm. a good sense of, I guess, progression, I suppose. Because like, I knew big things were happening. I mm-hmm. knew everything had like a good like amount of importance to it.
Yeah.
But I couldn't always follow what they were leading up to, I suppose. And I don't know if that's part like of the like political talk that I can't like wrap my head around.
Okay.
I don't know if that's a fault of just, you know, the pilot.
Right.
Which I guess it would not be a pilot since.
Yeah.
Huh.
Not they wouldn't even need
there pilots. Might not be pilots anymore.
How
or maybe there
how
will
our planes
be...
get around. Anyway.
Oh my god.
But I think that's something that I think that's something the show does really well is like in the first few episodes there's a lot of mystery, like you don't know what's going on, but you can hear enough of a storm rumbling on the horizon.
I agree.
That you want to stick around.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah. Going from one to episode one to two and then three and stuff, that's definitely the sense that you're getting.
Yeah.
I want to watch it so bad right now.
I know. Should we just watch it real quick?
Yeah.
Just all of it?
No, yeah. Just do it.
Yes.
It's technically, I guess not legal. Wouldn't be super legal.
It's not illegal at all.
Well, I mean, if we recorded it.
Oh, if we record, well, yeah.
Like, record us watching it.
Oh, no. I just meant just watch it.
Yeah.
It's only going to take, like, 10 hours to do that.
Sure. I mean, I've only got 10 more episodes.
Right.
Yeah.
So 10 hours.
Easy. Done. Cool.
Cool, cool.
No. Watch House of Cards, guys.
Yes. Just,
I mean, if you watch the first two episodes and you don't dig it, fine. Don't watch it, but, like, just... It's so good. It's really good.
Oh, yeah. I was just having a conversation in my when I was at school editing with my professor and his grad assistant, mm-hmm. who've seen it, talking about things to watch on Netflix. And when we got to, I was like, has anybody seen House of Cards? And we all just went, oh, my God, yes.
Big room up. So, oh, yeah. Oh.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, just Kevin Spacey as this... I don't know how to even accurately describe him.
He's a
I mean, he's a Southern politician.
Yes.
And he's
a smooth talking swindler.
He really is. And he's got this way of like carrying himself as his character that mm-hmm. is fucking phenomenal.
He does such a great job. Oh my god.
The first 2 minutes will hook you
yes.
indefinitely.
I forgot how the show... I keep forgetting how the show began,
it's
and I was like,
the best
oh my god.
Like, mild spoilers for this if no one has watched it, but within the first 2 minutes, he kills a goddamn dog. And
he
you
puts
are
it
on
out
his side.
Misery.
Well, yes, okay, sorry. He finds this dog in the street and he goes and he puts it out of its misery by choking it to death. And you
and
are
you,
on his side. You sympathize with
in
him.
In those first few minutes, you immediately get the perfect picture painted of exactly who this person is.
Yes.
He talks to the camera and like tells his reasoning behind this, and you're like, okay, that's this guy. There are no longer any questions.
It's the perfect way to establish him. It's so good.
I mean, that's not to say there are no longer any questions, but
well,
I don't want to say that.
No, right.
But, yeah. I don't want to go any further with spoilers.
No, right. I mean, that's... Yeah.
I know people listen to the podcast who haven't watched the show.
Yeah.
So go watch the show!
Do it. Jesus. So good. So, yeah, sorry about that 10 minutes where we were just not actually talking about the elements of House of Cards, but saying, oh, it was exactly what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
So good.
Sometimes you just have to do that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think that's necessary.
No apologies are in order.
Nope. So what else we got for talking?
What else do we got?
I've been playing a lot of Banner Saga.
Okay.
I can't really say anything I haven't already said about it. it's still good. Oh, actually, recently I found out... I did a little bit more research, because I hadn't known about Banner Saga until I saw it released on Steam in February. And I found out that this is just a small chunk of what the studio wants to do with it.
Okay.
What happened was that they were kickstarted in last April, I think. So they, you know, got all their money together and stuff, and they blew it out of the fucking water. I think they were asking for somewhere around $100,000 and got around $75,000. So yeah,
well,
really good numbers. A lot of people dug it, and they were trying to shoot for a November release on the game. Which, I mean, if you think about that, that's obviously a very short amount of time. And even they admit now, it's like, yeah, we were kind of over ambitious with how long we thought this was going to take.
Mm-hmm.
So they hadn't come out with anything except for, you know, the Banner Saga factions on Steam, which is solely the combat system. What they want to eventually do with the whole game is create this big narrative experience. You will be like this traveling caravan of Vikings going from place to place. There will be like random events, encounter stuff. There will be different fights. I guess they're trying to put a big focus on the narrative story. It's going to be a very mature game.
Yeah.
They're just, on paper, they want to do so many things that just scream like a really good, solid title.
Yeah.
It's kind of like they're taking this system and they're making it a little bit, I guess, Fire Emblem-y, but a little bit more open. Okay. You will get to know your characters. You will have meaningful conversation. Right. There will be mechanics surrounding conversation.
Okay.
So it's...
Yeah, that's one thing that seems like it was missing from factions. Like, your characters just sort of seem like drones that you're putting
in
combat.
Yeah, no, that's true. Until you name them. Right. I've been getting some pretty good names. I've been naming them my friends, mostly. So you do have a character.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Nice.
And unfortunately, there's one that I couldn't think of a name of, so his name is just... Beard bro. He's a big he's a Viking with a lot of facial hair.
Totally.
So, yeah. Just reading up on this, seeing what they would like to eventually do with it, I hope it works out half as well as like what they're like putting down.
Right.
Because it just sounds super good.
Totally. So how would they? Are they hoping to like? Is that going to be like?
It would be a
extra content for factions, or they're going to be a bunch of different games.
No, factions is just like one piece of it. It's their way to be like, hey, like combat test this, see if you like this. We haven't really given you anything, and it's been a few months, so here, have this, play with it.
Right. Okay.
So the actual Banner Saga game will be, it will have that combat system, so but it's going to be in a different, like more campaign environment.
Okay. So this is like the hey, chill with this while we work on the actual game.
Absolutely.
Thing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah, which is a pretty good model, I think.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You know, that way they can slowly introduce like new classes and stuff, they get feedback from the community, which is obviously pretty dedicated.
That's actually really great.
Yeah.
Throughout this free-to-play thing.
Because that is like one of their big main mechanics. The combat is like one of the main parts of it.
Yeah.
So
that's, wow, that actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That's really smart.
Hey, sense making.
Nice.
Yep.
That's what HTC does. Sense making. Tech jokes.
Oh boy, I didn't get it. Actually, I feel spared that I didn't get it, because I'm sure it was fucking awful.
If anybody in the audience got it, I'm sorry.
Please email us at...
send death threats to...
fpbsim@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Tell us how terrible we are.
Because HTC skins Android, and they call it sense. They call their skin on top of.
Oh.
So, how are you?
Dying from bad jokes.
Good. Great.
Is that it, though? Is that all we got? Because I thought, like, within the last 2 weeks we'd have more to talk about. I guess there was kind of a week of busy and break. So.
Yeah. We didn't really talk about women in games this week, which women in games, women in tech, I'm seeing a huge resurgence of... Just those sort of headlines and stories are getting a lot more coverage, I feel like.
Thank goodness.
Like, the industry is finally like, hey, women fucking exist.
Yeah.
And like, be people, damn it.
Be people towards these people.
Like, they're saying these things, and it's like, wow, the opposite of that is just like, really Neanderthal thinking, and like the way this is run has been wrong.
We should only have women in games.
Okay.
We should do a reverse discrimination for the next 50 years. Only women in games.
I mean, it would be deserved, but yes. I don't think it's the right way to go about fixing the problem.
What are you, sexist or something? What a shit show.
Oh, man.
No, I think that's something worth talking about in a later podcast.
Yeah, I would like to dedicate like a whole big chunk of time to that.
Yeah, I'd also like to dedicate one thing that we kind of wanted to talk about. I mean, we're running kind of a little bit long on this, which, I mean, whatever. One other thing that we wanted to talk about that I found recently was that, I mean, we don't know how well implemented this will be in later years, but how some people kind of want to shy away from violence being their main mechanic in video games, which in itself, I mean, it's mostly from the, you know, the Massachusetts, the Connecticut massacre, what is the name of that town? Starts with an S. You guys know.
Oh, it just speaks to societal ignorance that we can't remember the name of the town.
Hey, we know it happened and that it was sad.
Goddamn.
But yeah, no, but due to Sandy Hook.
Sandy Hook,
hello. Yeah. Don't be enthusiastic to say that.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, no. No, but anyone who even relatively follows games now knows that there was this weird, dumb backlash from the, you know, Sandy Hook massacre. Yeah, from the NRA, blaming games as being this violent medium. It's never made sense. It won't make sense. There are always going to be people who point fingers at this new upcoming medium, whatever. That is not what we want to talk about.
I mean, the NRA pisses me off in more ways than one, but this was the biggest.
Yes.
The latest one.
Right. But an interesting facet of that is that people are consciously, maybe at least have ideas about making games whose main mechanic is not violence, which I think is a big thing because that's a majority of games, flat out. A majority of games use form of, like, even if it's cartoonish violence, it's some form of like physical beat-em-up-ery that happens in games more often than not. And I think, I don't know how well it can work out, but I think the idea of making a different main mechanic that is not just shoot or beat up or something like that could prove to be a really interesting
thing. It's totally a route we should at least explore with this. I mean, it's an art, so why shouldn't it respond to society and sort of evolve in new ways?
Yeah.
We can check that out.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is just going to be making those different forms, those different main mechanics fun.
Yeah, totally.
And interesting and engaging.
I do feel, though, that we've gotten to this sort of plateau where it's like the big three are just making games with where you are a gun.
Less so Nintendo, but you're right.
Right, yeah. But that is really annoying, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got your Halo, you've got your Killzone, you've got your fucking Call of Duty.
Everything.
Yes. It's kind of stale and annoying now.
Yeah. And, like, even aside from those, there are other shooters that spawn off of that, but your main mechanic is still shooting dudes.
Yeah.
And it's not a thing that's ever really appealed to me too much. I mean, there are a handful of FPSs that I'll play.
Yeah.
But it,
most of the FPSs I play have a really deep focus on story, though.
Right.
So
either that or they do something very interesting with the mechanics.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's one game that I wanted really bad. It's this old one that the same studio who did, like, Abe's Odyssey did. Do you know of that game at all?
No.
I can show it to you later, but this studio made this game where you're, like, this cartoony kind of bounty hunter, and all of the ammunition that you use to, like, capture, like, bounties and, you know, kill these other, like, bad dudes is all, like, live. It's alive. So, like, there are all these, like, weird creatures that have these weird, like, you can fire tiny spiders at guys and slow them down.
Oh, God.
Like, lay these spike traps and stuff. It's a really neat game. I think it's, oh, God, what is the title of that? I think it's called The Stranger's Wrath.
Okay.
Because he's this strange, like, weird protagonist that you don't know much about. All you know that is he's a bounty hunter and you act through him. But that in itself is so different. That's weird and strange and refreshing.
Yeah.
So stuff like that. But, you know, the market has kind of gone with this shoot 'em up thing for a while.
Totally.
And
And I think one route to go from that would be that that's maybe one reason why indie developers have been so successful, because a lot of them just create new and interesting games that aren't necessarily violent.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing to take from that would be, I just saw a headline it was either on Polygon or The Verge, and saying like, death is dead. Like, we don't care about the value of a life anymore. In games, at least. Or how to make people care. I haven't read too much into it.
I think I meant to read that.
Yeah.
Or it might have...
That's something I want to
look into more. That might have been the article I read that started this discussion. I'm not sure.
Okay.
There's so many things to read.
Yeah.
Guys, there's a lot of words.
There's a lot of words. And you should maybe read some of them.
Yeah. All right.
So, yeah, that's an interesting thing.
Let's call it.
Okay. Good cast.
You'd think I would have the list of our things memorized by now.
I mean, it's understandable. There's a lot of stuff.
It's a lot of shit. Yeah. So, Mike, where can people follow you at?
People can find me most prominently probably on YouTube at youtube.com/vlogandegan. They can also follow me on Twitter at EganWorks.
They can also follow me on Twitter at Zach Bruin. You can follow the blog itself at FPBSim. There's also firstpersonblogsim.wordpress.com, blogactual. FPBSim.tumblr.com if you're into that. YouTube.com/FPBSim, which should be a review maybe coming up soon. What's the progress on that?
I'm so sorry. That's all I have to say.
Because it came out terrible because it's been on my face.
Because I haven't really touched it and I've been very busy.
Dude, whatever. It's totally fine.
But I'm off the next few days, so it'll be up soon.
That will be a thing that will happen. Yeah. So subscribe to that now so you don't miss out on my review of the Adventure Time game.
Yes.
And we'll also be throwing up, hopefully, like, right after this, we're going to be doing a little, I guess, preview. I'm sorry if no one can hear.
Someone was being murdered outside.
Yeah, someone just let out this guttural-like scream.
Those would be my outside. Neighbors.
How dare they? Where was
How dare children have fun?
That wasn't a child. That was like some terrible tween dick that's just yelling out.
Yeah, that would be my neighbors.
Yeah. Sorry if he's an okay guy.
No, he's not, so you're fine.
Cool. So we're going to be doing this impressions on the beta for Hammer Watch, which should be a lot of fun. That's like a gauntlet-y hack and slash kind of thing.
Yeah.
If you're going to throw that up, that should be cool. Alternatively, we also have a Facebook like page. So facebook.com/FPBSim. Also, subscribe to us on iTunes and rate us if you have a second. And like we said before, send any death threats or comments or questions or fashion tips to fbsim@gmail.com. So, yeah.
Those are the things.
Let's eat pizza.
All right.
Bye.